The cross pardons and sanctifies. How many know what I'm talking about? Faith in Jesus and His finished work forgives us of sin, cleanses us, does a sanctifying work in us. Hallelujah. All right. God is good. Let's stand to our feet. How many knew I was going to say that? Predictable. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. And to start with, I want to read one verse of Scripture. And I love to minister and preach John chapter 4. Minister and preach on the thought of the woman at the well. This morning, I'm not necessarily going to talk about that woman, but you'll see where I'm going here. I've never preached this before. Learned a lot studying this week. All right, notice, praise God, God is good. Verse number 5. It says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Reach your hands this way and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We honor You this morning. Thank You for Your power and Your touch. We just acknowledge You this morning in all of our ways. Ask You, Lord, to direct our path. Have Your way. Be glorified through the Word this morning. Open our minds and our hearts. Father, let us understand the high privilege we have in You and what's available to the child of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy this morning. Thank You for Your love. Hallelujah. Have Your way this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And you may be seated if you wish. Don't turn, but in Genesis chapter number 33, Jacob buys a piece of ground from the sons of Hamor. And he buys it for 100 pieces of money, is the way it says in that scripture. In Genesis 48, Jacob gives a piece of ground to Joseph when he is blessing Joseph's two sons. And who's the two sons? How many of you Bible scholars know? Ephraim and Manasseh. And what we find is that Ephraim and Manasseh were greatly blessed. It's interesting, Brother Russell, in Genesis 48, God gave the blessing of the firstborn to Joseph. Gave him an extra portion. His two sons wound up being looked at as individual tribes themselves because of the blessing of the firstborn. Joseph, when he was in Egypt, gave a command by faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that when you come out of this land and you get out of captivity, I want you to carry my bones up and bury it. And we see that that happened, that Joseph's bones were buried in that parcel of ground his daddy, Jacob, had purchased that he gave to Joseph right here where Jesus encountered this woman at the well. If you're with me so far, say amen. Now, I was going to read much more down through here to start off with this morning, but I wanted to jump right in and just give you a little background to this. Now, Samaria... And please don't look at me funny through this term. Samaria was termed a place of a bunch of half-breeds. Samaritans were looked down upon as dogs to the full-blooded Jew. But being a half-breed, at least half of them had claimed their ancestry to Israel or to Jacob. Someone say praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of myself on my mom's side. There's British and there's Indian. On my dad's side, at least I know there's Sweden. So I'm part Swedish, part British, part Indian, and who knows what else. Someone say, praise the Lord. Sort of in America, we become a melting pot of a lot of different things. So, and you know, I don't care who your natural parent is. What I'm concerned this morning is who your spiritual parent is. I may be one quarter Indian, one half Swedish, one whatever, but I want to tell you something. I'm 100% child of God today. My name's wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a Heavenly Father and Brother Mike. I've been adopted into His family. All the privileges that pertain to children of God are mine this morning, and I feel it right now. Can you say amen? Now, Jacob gave to Joseph this parcel of ground. It later, when they inhabited and by lot, they cast lot and they sectioned out the land, this particular piece was off limits because Jacob specially earmarked it for Joseph and his children. Now, the Samaritans who half belong to Jacob claim Jacob as their father. We're going to find when we get down through here and Jesus encounters this woman, going to this place to retrieve some water. Jesus asked her, "Will you give me something to drink?" Verse number 11 here, we're still in chapter number 4. The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Notice verse number 12. This Samaritan woman says, "Art thou greater than who? Our father," what? Claiming Jacob as her father. Therefore, what she is saying, "I have right to this well. It belongs to me because I'm part of the family of Jacob." Now notice what she says in describing this well. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" She's saying, Jesus, or whoever you are, stranger, this is a good well given to us from our parents, and it's been in this family for many years, and it has produced much water to the point that it sustained Jacob, sustained his children, it sustained his cattle, and it'll sustain me today, and I'm going to get me some. Now, this was right in the heart, in the middle of the land God promised to Abraham. Abraham walked on it as a stranger. Here, we see that Jacob, but Abraham also bought a little parcel of land that he was buried in. But Jacob purchased this piece of land, give it to his children. And I had the thought, you know, we've got a promised land awaiting us. How many here got a promised land? A land that flows with milk and honey. A good land and a large. How many have a promise of heaven when this life is over? You know, not just a land, a piece of property, not just walls of jasper, gates of pearls, streets of gold, foundations of precious stones. But we're talking about we'll have a relationship with Jesus for all of eternity. That relationship is starting now, but that will never be parted or separated from Him. He says, "I go away to prepare a place for you." And He says, "And if I go away, I will come again." Say that with me. "I will come again." If you believe that, why don't you raise a hand to heaven and praise Him? He's coming again. He's coming after a church and a people that have made themselves ready. But He said, "If I go, I'll come again. And where I am, there you may be also." Never to be separated, never to be parted. Again, having eternal, continuous, free-flowing, unfettered fellowship with our God for all of eternity. Why in the world aren't you running the aisles today with that? Woo! Glory to God. We got a possession. And thinking about that promised land, I think we need to do what Jacob did. We need to pay a price to get a foothold. Now, the thing is that when you invest in something and you've tied something up, amen, and Jacob went down to Egypt and he was down there 400 years, but there was something that tied him back to that promised land. He had a possession there. He had a piece of property there that he paid for. Are y'all with me? And what did he do? He gave it to his son Joseph. And his son Joseph told him, "This is what I want you to do. And I make commandment concerning my bones." And we know the story. But that piece of land tied him to the promised land. I want to tell you, church, let's pay a price today that'll keep us tied to heaven. That'll keep us anchored and have the right focus when we go through this world. And there's so many things today that will distract the child of God. And how many recognize the world is vying for your attention? Flipping through the channels on TV, you know, you'll encounter things that you don't need to look at. Someone say amen. And it's then, you know, the world is trying to reach out and grab a hold of your heart. And we're inundated daily, on a daily basis, almost an hourly basis, how sin is rampant in this world and is trying to change the way we think and the way we perceive. Are y'all with me this morning? Let's get tied to heaven. and get focused on him. Now, I want you to notice a phrase here in verse number 12. And I want you to understand this woman, knowing that this well, she owns it. She owns it because she's part of that family. And she recognizes that. She said, this is our well. He gave it to us. Jacob gave it to us. It's our well. She makes the statement, art thou greater? Now, how many know the answer to the question? How many believe that Jesus is greater than Jacob? I believe Jesus is greater than Jacob. And I believe that the water that Jesus provides is greater than the water that Jacob provided to his children. I want you to know what we need to do this morning is get plugged into the well. Get our minds and hearts focused and centered on Jesus. Allow him to be the Lord of our life. Hallelujah. But I think the problem is today's people don't know who Jesus is. If Jesus is merely a good man, then a good man died for his cause, and that's the end of it. If Jesus is merely a prophet, I got that verse there. I probably won't get to it. If Jesus is only a prophet, then you can join the ranks with the Muslims because that's what they believe. But I believe he's more than a prophet. I believe he's more than a man. I believe he's a wonderful, good teacher. But oh, he's more than a teacher. Amen. I believe he's the Son of the living God. Jesus, addressing the disciples there in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, you're Jeremiah, John the Baptist, or you're one of the prophets that have risen from the dead. Well, he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, and that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to know today, friends, that faith in Christ will give you victory over the devil. Amen. Amen. Let's fast forward. John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Jesus is greater. He offers greater water. I want to title my message this morning, Jesus is greater. Say that with me. Jesus is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just obey the Lord today. Don't look at your clock. Don't look at the time for a few minutes here. Verse 51. John 8. 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. How many understand that's not talking about the physical, natural, fleshly death, but that's talking about a spiritual death. To be separated from God for all of eternity definitely is death. Revelation 20 called it the second death, a place called the lake of fire. We call it hell. And how many still believe in a real burning hell? It's there. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Now here's the question again, art thou greater? The same question the woman at the well posed to Jesus when she said, art thou greater than Abraham? Or Jacob. Here, they're saying, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Jump down to verse 58. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what does it say? I am. You know, I don't think you can put an age on Christ. From eternity past, co-creator with God the Father. I believe he was there and present when man was made and he with his hands formed man. Let's go to Matthew 12. Hallelujah. God said, let us make man in our image. I believe the communion between the Father and the Son. We talked about that in Sunday school here either last week or the week before. Jesus is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 40. I have the worst habit. I don't want to say the worst habit. It's actually a good habit, I guess. I don't know. You just determine yourself. That if I don't limit myself to one pages of notes, I would read scriptures all day long. So I have to do that. And let's focus on this. And I've devised ways of putting a lot of scriptures on one page, by the way. Matthew 12 and 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And read this with me, friends. And behold, a greater. Say this with me. A greater than Jonas is here. And what Matthew is saying here is that if they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and now you've got the Son of God and you're not responding or accepting Him, you're going to be in greater condemnation than those in Nineveh. Someone say, praise the Lord. Verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas. This woman put forth such an effort to come from such a far distance to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Have me recognize that there's no great enough price that me and you can pay to be in the presence of Jesus. It would be worth it. Say amen. Greater than Solomon, greater than Jonas, greater than Abraham, greater than Jacob. If you're with me, say praise the Lord. Greater than any person that lived. And here's why. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Jesus is greater. And in my feeble way this morning, the Bible talked about the foolishness of preaching. There's times that I sit down from preaching a sermon, I thought, my Lord, did I make a mess out of that? Help me understand that. But if you take away one single seed today, I want you to know one seed of the Word of God can yield such a great harvest if it's planted right. Hebrews 3 and 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. I want you to consider this. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Let's consider Jesus today. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Are you worshiping the house today or the builder of the house? Are you worshiping creation today or the Creator? Understand what I'm saying today. I want us to focus on the Lord because He is greater than any person. People get their eyes on preachers, and when preachers fall, someone say praise the Lord, they get their eyes off of God. If you had your eyes on God to start with, you wouldn't be falling when the preacher falls. You're not following a preacher anyways, friends. You're following Jesus today. I don't want nobody to follow me. I want to point you to the cross and have you follow Jesus. And if we'll follow Jesus, we'll be all right. We'll follow Him together. Don't get me wrong. That's why I love to use the Word of God as that weapon and to try to feed the Word of God to the children of God so that we know that we know. Let's go back to Matthew. In fact, the same chapter we was. I could have had you held that place. Matthew chapter 12. We read verses 40 through 42. Wonderful chapter. Backing up, though, to verse 6. Hallelujah. If you are a religious person, that is such an interesting term. Someone say amen. I'm not a religious person, by the way. I have to tell you, I don't personally like the word religion. It means so many things. You know, somebody can worship a dog or a cat. It's a religion. Put up a stone statue. It's a religion. Religions are started every day. Religions cease every day. Hear me now. What I've got is a relationship. Notice verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place one greater than the temple. Let me interject a thought here. I believe it was the writer Ezekiel. May have been Jeremiah or Ezekiel. He said, you will say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And basically, when he was prophesying, he was saying, you can't trust in a house. I know when Solomon prayed and he dedicated the house of God and he asked God's provision over that, God answered in a dream. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He gave them four things they had to do. He said, then I would hear from heaven, I would forgive their sin, and I would heal their land. God says, if you do these four things, I will do these three things. But it was in response to the prayer of Solomon that he said, if your people get afflicted and they fall upon bad times, if they look toward this house, will you hear? And God didn't say nothing about the house. He said, they've got to change their ways and they've got to repent. And if they do that, then I'll answer. But I know people have got this attitude that when hard times fall upon them, they'll run to the church house. Now, friends, I like the fact that Bethel means the house of God. Help me understand Bethel as the house of God. There was one place, though, Jacob wanted to know, El Bethel, which was God of the house of God. I'm not interested in the house of God today. I'm interested in the God of the house of God. I'm not interested in chandeliers and carpets and padded pews and paid parking lots, but I'm interested in a encounter with God today. I want to get in touch with Jesus today, and I want to see lives changed by the power of God. Understand who He is today. And I don't believe the church understands who Jesus is. Hear me now. Jesus is greater. Let's keep reading. He's greater than the temple. I want to say He's greater than religion. I was studying, and I never thought of this before, but don't worship worship. Think about this. Don't worship the process. Don't worship service. Don't worship music, singing. Worship the giver of all. Don't get your eyes on singers and preachers, as I've already said. Get your eyes on God. Don't admire the instrument of worship, but admire the giver of worship. And how many believe God gives worship? Y'all catch this. I attribute all good things to Him, and when we have that wonderful, sweet presence and spirit of worship, I acknowledge that as a gift from God, and I embrace that and I love that. And when God pours that on you, why don't you just run with it? When He gives you something and your soul is overflowing and your mind and awareness is keen enough to understand that He's been good to you, and just the very natural outcropping of the goodness of God is that we return to Him the praise due unto His holy sweet name. But I believe God gives worship, but I'm not going to worship worship. I'm going to worship the giver of worship. If you understand me, say amen. Now notice, hallelujah. I stopped at verse 6. Verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. I've got a message on that. I might preach that another time. He says, notice this, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. I'm not going to worship Sunday. I'm going to worship the giver of Sunday. Whatever that day that you set aside and you designated as the day of your worship and your assembly, I want you to know I'm not looking to the day. I'm not looking to the building. I'm not looking to the congregation. I'm not looking to the mechanism, but I'm looking to the giver of all things. If you're with me, say amen. Turn to John chapter number 10. Someone say praise the Lord. I want to give Jesus an upgrade today. Not that He needs one, but in our estimation, we need to change our view. Reminds me of the story of the lady who, looking through her kitchen window at her neighbor's backyard, seeing her neighbor's clothesline on a daily basis, would notice her hanging sheets. I think y'all remember me telling this story. I hope some of you do. Noticing how dingy and dirty the sheets look. She thought to herself, my goodness, she must not be a very clean person. And she, with disdain, day after day, she would look out her kitchen window and see the neighbor's sheets and think that. One day she leaned forward and touched her kitchen window and felt this film on her hands, and got her clean out and cleaned her window real good. and then looked and seen beautiful white sheets her neighbor had hung. How many believe we need to have the right vision, the right perspective to see things clearly? And what I want the Lord to do with us this morning is help us to see Jesus clearer than we've ever seen Him before. He's greater than Levi in His priesthood, according to Hebrews 7:7. He's the great physician, greater than our disease. Someone say amen. He's the good shepherd. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say great shepherd. But, and I know in the English language we have those words, and one means more than another. How many understand good shepherd is as good as it gets, though? He's already the best shepherd. But I want you to know He's the greatest shepherd. Amen. I'm going to upgrade Him to the great shepherd today. Can I do that? Is that legal for me to do that? Y'all give me permission? Whether you do or not, I already have. John 10:10, the thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it, how? More abundantly. If you only knew who Jesus was. And I know people will look at this abundant life and think of materialism and possessions, and that's not the abundant life whatsoever. I want you to know Peter and John there going up to the gate of the temple, that called beautiful. He said, silver and gold had I none. How many believe you can be happy and not have no silver or gold? But you can have the right wealth and the right riches. Amen. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. How many believe He's the greatest shepherd? Greater than any other shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Now what I want us to do this morning is simply focus on the fact that Jesus is greater. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Jonas. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than Moses. The builder is greater than the house. He's greater than religion. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than the Sabbath day. He's greater than Levi. He's greater than any physician. He's greater than any shepherd. He's great. Somebody give me a hearty amen. Now what I want to do, and I've got this here, and I wish you could see this. I don't know if you can see my last line. But I've got a line right here. And I've got an arrow pointing in it. And I put, Jesus is greater than blank. And beside that, I put, fill in your problem. And I'm going to tell you today, that's a blank check. Because you can fill it in with the situation that you're encountering right now. Help me understand He's greater than the problems in our nation. Help me will acknowledge that. Help me believe Jesus is greater than cancer, diabetes. He's greater than any sin that we've ever committed. He's greater than any wrong that we've ever done. He's greater, listen to this, oh my goodness. He's greater than any wrong way you were treated. And He can heal that hurt. How many believe He's greater than that? So this morning, what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave you with the thought, Jesus is greater. And you've got a blank check. I want you to fill it in this morning. Let's stand to our feet right now. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano this morning? It's a good thing when you find out people can do things, you'll start working them. I appreciate her help. This morning, Jesus is greater. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He's Alpha through Omega. Every letter of the Greek alphabet represented there. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. I'll tell you this, simply put, Jesus is the answer to your question. He's the answer to every question. And I'll tell you, when I preach, help me understand, when Brother Ted preaches, he preaches Jesus. Help me caught that over the last almost 10 years. And it's all I've got to preach. But I'm convinced it's all I need to preach. And there's so much to my Savior today. But I want to tell you this morning, with open arms, He's inviting you in to a closer relationship. With open arms, He's saying, come unto Me, ye that are weary, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is greater than our problems. He's greater than our heartaches. He's greater than our headaches. And He loves you today. Let's lift our hands and praise Him right now. Father, we thank You this morning.
Lord, I praise you this morning, Lord, for your presence and spirit that I feel right now. I thank you this morning for this assembly of believers that have gathered together here, Lord, on this day of worship. And Lord, we don't worship things or people or processes, but we worship you. We worship you, the giver of all life. We worship you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name this morning. Where would we be without you, wonderful Savior? Where would we be without you, wonderful Lord? Hallelujah. Your name is wonderful today. Have your way in every heart and life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's come and find a place and pray this morning. Kneel at this altar if you would. Kneel at your seat. But wherever you're at this morning, call on Jesus. Call on the Lord this morning.